You're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour two kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. We were talking about the NBA just then. Appears that the salary cap going up even higher than they expected. So teams going to have a little bit more cap space than they originally thought, as it's going to raise over 10% up to $123.6 million, which will be up from $110 that it was this year. So good sign for some teams trying to, I guess, there's not a lot of teams with cap space this year, though.
There's not. I think I saw there's like five, really, that have like enough for a max contract guy or like close to it at least.
Yeah.
And like at best, I think Memphis actually can be there too if they don't re-sign a lot of their free agents. But it's weird.
Last year was 112.4, and now it's expected to jump up to 123.6. So something to keep an eye on. All right, Cam, let's hit some headlines. Well, there, I gave you one to get you started.
Thank you, thank you. Speaking of cap room, also update from Carson. Will Barton was 44% from the corner.
Okay, so similar, Gus.
Yep. Since we've talked cap room there, the New York Knicks, we kind of briefly mentioned it in the last little segment, made a move to basically get more cap room by trading away Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel to the Detroit Pistons, and some second-round picks as well, a 2023 second-round pick and a 2024 second-round pick, and $6 million in cash, basically, for the Pistons to take these players. They did not take anything else back.
Well, that's what you want if you are a team that's rebuilding like the Detroit Pistons are. You want to have your cap space, and obviously you're not going to be able to sign free agents, so you use your cap space to then get draft picks and draft capital from teams, and that's what they're doing here. They've done it twice with the Knicks now, and they ended up with Jalen Duren and now some extra draft capital, second-round picks, nothing huge, but some cash as well. I don't think either one of those guys, Nerlens Noel or Alec Burks, will play with them, and they might even just get bought out.
Sources say early, but they intend to keep them both. So I think there was somebody on the staff or in the front office that like had worked with, I think, at least Noel at some point and really likes him. So
$19 million on the way out. Both guys have team options for next year, so I'd imagine neither one of those would get picked up. As you're looking at another $20 million for those two players. But, Burks and Noel are both professionals. They're both veterans that, are good to have on a young team. I mean, Nerlens Noel theoretically could be the starting center there.
Yeah.
And just kind of help Jalen Duren be able to come up to speed at his own pace, and gives, some extra protection, for rim, and also, another big guy that can kind of help bring along Cade Cunningham and Jay Navi, so.
Yeah. And you never know. Maybe they're trying to get Ayton or something and can use these guys, just for salary stuff.
I'm going to say no on that, Cam, because I think this takes them out of the DeAndre Ayton running, because if you are needing salary, if you're the Phoenix Suns, no thanks. I don't want Burks nor Noel on my team.
Fair.
I mean, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
the original idea for Detroit was just to sign him with cap space, but that's kind of going out the window. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they would want either one of those guys back. Maybe Noel, I guess. Just kind of to do the Chris Paul special, like the Tyson Chandler of just like, hey, I'm going to catch alley-oops and try to block shots. But I would be really shocked if that was the case. So I would say it almost takes them out of the running for Ayton. The Knicks, not a good sign, though. Like, they've had to trade draft picks to get rid of three of this guy's, of Leon Rose's and, like, this New York Knicks, like, front office regime. They're trading all guys that he signed. Like, this isn't like they're clearing up bad cap space that, like, he inherited. They're getting rid of bad cap space that, like, he gave out. It's not good when you're having to pay so quickly to get out of your own mistakes. And it's still weird that it's like, hey, we're doing all this so we can get Jalen Brunson, but, you know, the bad news is they're still left with Julius Randle, Evan Fournier, and Derrick Rose, both new contracts given out, that are worth almost like $55 million just for next year's salary. Fournier has another year after that. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle has another 3 years after that. So, you know, I don't know what the long-term solution there is if you're New York.
Maybe Jalen Brunson is just a star. Maybe it was all Luka's fault.
Maybe. Maybe. Any other headlines, Cam?
Yeah. Okay. There's a few. the Utah Jazz have their next coach.
No one has ever looked more like a Jazz head coach than this guy, too.
Of course, my page is refreshed on me. But it was the Celtics assistant, whose name escapes me now.
Yeah, Celtics fans are mad at the way that this has all kind of gone down because they had a front office guy in Boston, of course, Danny Ainge, retire and then just go work in Utah with his friend who bought the team. And became like an advisor there, and then like, you know, now they go back and hire Boston's like best assistant coach,
Will Hardy.
Will Hardy, he gets a 5-year deal. He's only 34 years old, right?
Yeah, he's a young guy for sure.
People think highly of this guy. People think highly of Will Hardy and think that he could be a, you know, a rising star. But only 34 years old, same age as Mike Conley, his starting point guard.
Jeez.
He would be the youngest active head coach in the league and another hire from the Greg Popovich tree. I saw a tweet that like 11 or 12 of the current coaches in the NBA are like from the Greg Popovich tree. I know the Spurs have kind of fallen off, but Popovich's influence will live on
forever
for a long time.
And ever.
That is just the weird thing about hiring young coaches, though, is when they're
same age as your
almost
players.
The same age or the same age in this instance. Like,
yeah.
Hey, shared life experience.
I don't know how I'd feel about that if I were Mike Conley.
Depends. I mean, if the guy knows his stuff, then I think maybe you look over it.
It's at least harder to earn that initial respect, I feel like.
It should be. At least basketball is not the same level of like football. I don't know. I feel like the young coaches in football always seem like hot shots. Like in basketball, like I don't know, like Brad Stevens seemed young, but hell, he wasn't compared to Will Hardy. I mean, I don't know. This is the youngest coach in the league. I don't know what to expect from him.
He should be relatable to the players, I guess.
I don't know what his
like pedigree is.
I mean, I know he's coached for a while and, like, you know, was with the, you know, the Celtics and was with the Jazz for a while, I want to say. Maybe he wasn't with the Jazz at all. Never mind. He wasn't with the Jazz. He got hired by the Jazz. He was with the Celtics. And I assume the Spurs, too, if he's from Popovich's tree, is what I meant to say. So, like, I don't know.
David Fizdale also getting hired as an associate GM?
Yeah, to me, that basically is just D-Wade throwing a favor to his boy because, like, he loves Fizdale and D-Wade has part ownership of the Jazz. And to me, that's just, like, them taking care of him.
I didn't know D-Wade had partial ownership of the Jazz.
Yeah, like he's like
I forgot about that.
He's a very small part in it, but like they have like he'll be courtside and stuff and hanging out and, you know, helping.
That seems like such a weird culture fit for D-Wade.
Yeah. It's a slap in the face to the Miami Heat as well. Let's see.
All right, I got some.
I was trying to get this guy's record, so let's see. Okay. So he played for Williams College, a D3 school in Massachusetts.
Ah, yes.
Then began his career in the NBA as an intern with the Spurs in 2010. Eventually rose to become head coach, Greg Popovich's top assistant coach. When Udoka was hired, Hardy, I guess, went with him. Let's see. He was hired by the Boston Celtics when they hired, Ime Udoka. Okay.
Damn. Okay.
Hardy was also on the coaching staff for Team USA in the Summer Olympics in 2021.
I mean, only like 12 years of...
12 years of experience.
And that's including an internship.
You're lead assistant for Pop. And then, the Celtics, the Celtics think highly of him. So, he was the lead assistant there, too. So, it seems like he's cut his teeth and has, earned his way.
Okay.
It seems like I don't know. If they're running it back with Gobert and Mitchell, it seems like that's a tough dynamic to drop on a 34-year-old first-time head coach, right?
A little bit.
Because, that's a contentious
He may not be ready for that
situation. Maybe they're getting rid of Gobert still, though, and, maybe that becomes easier for him. But just seems like a hostile situation to walk into.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, good batch of headlines. I'll save the rest for hour three, Cam.
Okay.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We are at the time of year that Cam calls list season. I haven't seen have other publications started getting to list yet. We already had our coaching list a long time ago. We got our quarterbacks list a couple weeks ago.
We went through a few when you were out. There's stuff going on. I saw a list today came out of the top 25 NFL players under 25.
Okay.
So people are just
Who's the number one 25 the number one player in the NFL under the age of 25?
I didn't click on the list yet because I didn't know if you guys actually wanted it or not.
Not really, but if it's not Jeffrey Simmons, I riot.
It's not Jeffrey Simmons.
I'm interested in that.
Is it Jamar Chase?
It is not Jamar Chase.
Is it Justin Jefferson?
It is not.
Is it a quarterback?
It is a quarterback.
Is it Justin Herbert then?
Yes.
That's dumb.
Justin Herbert better than Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons isn't even on this top 25 list.
What?
Is he still on the he's still on the 25?
Yeah, he's 24.
That's what I thought. But he's not even on this list.
Okay. are they saying by the time the season starts, because he does turn 25 in July?
Maybe. Let me see if it says anything.
That has to have a caveat of these players will be under the age of 25 by the time the season starts.
So this says it also
because people call it
considers Jeremy's positional value. So maybe that's something there.
Considers positional value. Do we not?
So I guess that means the QBs are skewed higher, probably.
I get that. I'm just talking about not being on the list at all because, I know he's only a defensive tackle, but we've seen what Aaron Donald's done over the last 10 years, as a defensive tackle. Jeffrey Simmons is the closest thing in the NFL to
a disruptive Aaron defensive Donald. Lineman is the second most valuable thing that you can have, I think, at this point.
You would think so. And I know that defensive ends get more credit than tackles, but if you have a truly dominant defensive tackle, that's almost A, impossible to find, but B, to me, that does just as much for your defense as anything.
And you see what it does for Harold Landry, the amount of times that he could just loop inside to a completely blown up A gap because Jeffrey Simmons just took two defenders, completely collapse them to the right or the left. You see what it does for your linebackers. You see what it does for everyone on your defense. And just for Jeffrey Simmons.
When I think of some of the at least recent defenses that jump out to me in terms of being dominant, I feel like their defensive tackle play was better than their defensive end play, right? Even going back, if you want to go all the way back to the first time I watched the defense win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which maybe, I don't remember.
Was it the Ravens?
Well, I was going to say the Ravens was, but I don't know who their edge rushers or their defensive tackles were. I know Tony Siragusa, I think, was on that defense, but I don't know how good he was. But RIP, by the way. But I was going to say, we saw Warren Sapp completely dominate a defense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they, won a Super Bowl right after that.
No,
We saw Donald this year. We saw, even 2 years ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense was, they had two of the
McCoy and Vita Vea both.
I mean,
and
like,
Sue
and like,
as well.
Like Sue, yeah. I mean, like they had three just absolute dominant defensive tackles, and like when Vita Vea got back and healthy, that's when they took off and became like a dominant defense. And then like,
no, I agree with y'all. It makes it easier on the rest of the defensive linemen and, and linebackers for sure.
Even the Ravens from like 10 years ago with Haloti Ngata, like I mean, those to me a defensive tackle.
It's just if you can if you can reset the line of scrimmage in the middle of the line of scrimmage, that just limits the offense so much. It makes it harder for guards to pull. It makes you know, harder to set up a clean pocket. Like there's no room to step up in pockets. It makes it easier for the edge rushers, easier for the linebackers, easier for everyone.
In terms of just like elite pass rushers, like I mean, how I know they're impactful, so don't like get me wrong, but like when you look at like the actual like best pass rusher, or you know, when I say pass rusher, I'm thinking defensive end. Like, does that always translate to an elite defense? Because like I know like Khalil Mack was stuck in you know, Chicago, not doing anything, even when he was still at the top of his game.
No, if you have no help, they can just double team you and slow you down. Double team you and then like chip you over running back or something like that as well. So like they can definitely slow you down.
I know Pittsburgh's defense with T.J. Watt's been good, but he's also had you know Hayward there
and Stephon Tuitt and like he had Bud Dupree at one point.
I'm just saying it also didn't like lead to like any success for them.
But I feel like it's much easier for a really good defensive tackle to impact the rest of the defense and impact defensive ends than it is for good defensive ends to impact the rest of the defense and tackles.
I think the key is whenever you are a elite defensive tackle, like you, A, take up double teams, but B, like you still win against the double teams. Like, so then like everyone else has single covers, but you're also still able to disrupt. So like, again, I don't want to make it a Jeffrey Simmons thing. I think it's pretty stupid. I think he's a top 25 player in the NFL. I think, is that not understood at this point? No? Maybe not? I mean, I feel like he is, but especially after his playoff coming out party. I mean, he had 9 sacks. I mean, he had he's just absolutely disruptive.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, just disrespectful.
Want to play a game? You guys want to see how many of these guys you can name?
No, I think it's stupid now. Now that you told me Big Jeff ain't on there. Where was this? Where's this from?
The 33rd team is the name of the page.
Oh.
Adam retweeted it.
Is that the same one with that stupid list of the best offenses?
Yeah.
And their weapons that's created by GM?
Yeah.
Who is Adam Schefter?
Yeah, yeah.
He retweeted it?
Yeah,
he retweeted that old list too.
Does he have stock in this?
I have no idea.
Yes, he 100% has to. Because the list that we read from this stupid website 3 weeks ago rated all the rated and tiered all the offensive weapons that teams have.
Like, Charlie was very upset.
The Chargers
list
were like 20 something.
The best football insider content on the internet, differentiated insights, analysis from NFL head coaches, GMs, and execs.
Yeah, that's what they use their.
This has to be something Schefter has stock in.
Yeah. But it's the only, like,
because he's the only person I've ever seen reference it. Or
is the only GM / exec that they're talking to for this just Bill O'Brien? Because that's the only reason any of this like could make sense.
Let's see here. The 33rd team.com. This is about Adam Schefter. Hold on, let me see.
Maybe he's just really good. Maybe he's just good friends with whoever started it up.
He did an interview with him, so
the 33rd. I don't want to keep saying their name. I don't want people to know about this website and go to him. But here I am about to click on him. What other? Do they have any other lists?
I mean, they have that one, but this is the most recent one I've seen. I'm sure I can find
their three most recent articles are this stupid under 25 players list. Is Arch Manning worthy of the hype? And what's the backup plan for Cleveland?
When you look at Arch Manning's high school stats combined with who he was playing with, like it, I do wonder, is he worth the hype? So
no,
he's not.
It doesn't.
Every time I watch tape, it looks like he's playing against just really low-level talent. And I'm just
low-level talent.
Yeah, like I'm not impressed by that.
His mechanics translate. His mechanics,
but he's not playing anybody. I think there's a difference.
You always talk about how you could go out there and ball, Cam. I think you could go out there and ball against like
the
guys.
Absolutely.
I really do feel that way. When I see the guys,
that's a low bar there. Like,
when I saw the guys who were trying to chase him, I was like,
people are like, oh, this guy can move a little bit. It's like, no, just all those guys are slow. He's not doing anything.
So no, I don't really want to hear this chart, to be honest.
Well, if it makes you feel better, AJ Terrell's on there.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's fair, but I'm just still so mad that they wouldn't include Jeffrey Simmons.
AJ Brown's on there as well. Below AJ Terrell, but he's on there.
What?
So Nick Bosa's 24, but he'll be 25 in October.
Yeah.
So
I guess he's on the list. So yeah.
Yeah, I found this stupid list because I don't want to play your guessing game. I'm trying to just figure out what's going on with it, though. And if there's any guys on there that are 24, they'll turn 25 before the season.
Max Crosby, I didn't even realize he was.
I thought Max Crosby 25. Was roughly 48.
Yeah, I thought he was at least like high 20s.
Let's see. Max Crosby. No, he turns 25. Yeah, so Max Crosby turns 25 before the season. He turns August 22nd.
This is the worst.
So, like, they just didn't think Jeffrey Simmons was on there, I guess?
Yep.
Okay. Sure.
Who wrote this?
Like,
I know that they compiled it or whatever from different opinions.
There's no name.
Somebody that I can tweet at.
There's no name listed on this.
Who can I tweet at?
So the top three is Herbert, Burrow, and Jackson. Kyler Murray's number 7. Okay, I've seen enough of this.
AJ Terrell's a little low, if you ask me.
I'm a big list guy too, John.
You're a big list guy.
I love lists. I like making lists.
To-do
list or?
To be honest,
no, I don't make like to-do lists or grocery lists, but I like to make lists.
To be honest, I feel like you are just as qualified as whoever the hell is running this 33rd team that didn't put my guy, Big Jeff Simmons, the second best defensive tackle in the league, on their top 25 list.
Yeah, no, I.
So go ahead. What list are you working on?
Well, yesterday I got bored. And okay. I was arguing about ACC quarterbacks with a group of my friends, right?
You were doing
After we started about that?
I was arguing about ACC quarterbacks with a group of my friends.
I guess we started that, but I didn't think anybody else would want to argue with that.
Yeah, no. Well, some of my friends did. I found a different list on here now.
Oh, no.
On this 33rd team that's just tiering all the cornerback combos in the NFL. And these are...
That's my stuff. Falcons number 1?
No.
Oh, what?
Sorry.
Terrell and Hayward, bro.
They're actually at the bottom of tier 2.
What?
Yeah, sorry, Cam. These people really don't know what they're talking about.
These guys suck. It's official.
The Titans are all the way down in tier 6.
Wait, what tier? What is this?
This is tiering cornerback combos. But anyway, back to my list. Yeah, so I was trying to argue that there were at least 7 above average quarterbacks in the ACC, and it led to like, well, then I want you to rank them all 1 through 63 and define the average so you can prove that you think that there were actually that many. So I spent over an hour ranking every Power 5 quarterback 1 through 64, and then I also separated them into tiers. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 tiers.
Okay.
With this information, where would you like me to begin? Do you have any questions? Do you want me to present anything to you? You want to guess anything?
I'll give you the name of my tiers. Okay.
I have the all-decade talent tier, 1 player.
Mm-hmm.
The elite tier, 1 player. Really good is 3 through 7. Good is 8 through 16. Slightly above average, 17 through 29. Average is 30 through 41. Slightly below average, 42 through 50.
We need to get you a girlfriend.
Bad is 51 through 55. Really bad.
You do have some
is
free time, it seems like.
At least some dates. You always talk about how busy you are.
And then Nathan Peterman.
He always talks about how busy he is.
And then Nathan Peterman making his first NFL career start.
Yeah, I see him tweet me.
Is 61 through 63.
He tweeted me a picture, I don't remember, maybe both.
Cat.
The cat, but like in the background was like Fortnite.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Which, by the way, I only saw 2 TVs in your living room. I didn't see all 4 of them that you keep talking about.
He never asked me to play Fortnite with him either.
I would love to play Fortnite with you. Why don't you play with me?
But he always talks about how busy he is. But I saw him like, you know, just playing Fortnite, and he's made a list of 63 quarterbacks in how many different tiers? 10?
10 tiers.
Why do you need 10 tiers for 63 quarterbacks? I feel like it's either elites, really good, good, average, bad. Like, I feel like 5 at most.
Well, if there's going to be a certain amount of tiers above average, maybe that needs to be equivalent below average.
No, there doesn't, unless it's like unproven. Bad, unproven.
I didn't have it
awful,
unproven.
Maybe.
I just, the guys that didn't have much to work with, I watched some high school tape, and I watched
what
limited. What? I wanted it to be accurate.
You did what?
Either high school tape or transfer from JUCO or FCS tape or just like their limited snaps in college.
You really try to track down high school film. Of these guys for your
at 6:30 last night, I was watching high school film of Iowa State's
I was expecting this to be at like red 1 in the morning. Quarterback. It was just dinner time.
It was dinner. I was late to eat dinner because I wasn't done watching.
What do you mean late to eat dinner? Do you have a certain time you have to eat dinner? Don't you live by yourself? Like,
I have a roommate.
Do you guys eat dinner together?
No, we never really are home at the same time.
Okay, both. Well, I didn't know if you guys had dinner plans. I guess I don't think it's weird if you eat with your roommate. I just was asking if you had
scheduled and you just missed it.
Too late.
Okay.
But no, I
this is the saddest thing I've ever heard. I think
Mondays and Tuesdays.
I didn't think it could get worse than your cat crawling on your TV and you being a cat dad that just like doesn't give enough attention and just doesn't give enough attention to his cat, so he lashes out to see if he can get your attention.
The TV has all the attention, so the cat's fighting back.
That's not what's happening.
I didn't think it could get sadder than that. And then you tell me that you made a last 63. Aren't there 65 teams, by the way? Two battles.
It's 64.
I thought there were 65. Is there not 65? I thought, does Notre Dame not count?
I didn't count Notre Dame.
Why not? They're Power 5.
They're independent.
But they're Power 5.
They're independent. If you want me to find where Jack Cohn's place on this list will be, I can't.
I mean, I just feel like if you're ranking quarterbacks, I feel like Notre Dame's has to be on there. They're a player.
Well, he's not. They're independent. If they want to join a conference, they can get on my list.
I always just think of 65.
Strict list rules.
Whenever people talk about Power 5, I always think of 65 teams. But either way.
I didn't think it could get sadder than
you putting 65 together in 10 different tiers, but then I find out that you're actually doing research.
Did a rough draft and a final draft.
You know, that I don't have much of a problem with that, just because if you're going to do it, you got to make sure you go through
it. Yeah, I spent probably an hour and 15 minutes on it. 2 hours, an hour and a half maybe.
What time did you end up eating dinner?
8:35, 8:40.
All right, I'm going to let you. All right, so with that being said, after the break, we get Charlie's top 63 quarterbacks in the country. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Charlie's list today is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine, because he needs some help. Maybe he just needs to get back in the game of life. Not through any injuries, but just get back on that bike or back to the gym and find some love. At least somebody to walk in the park with him and just have a healthier mental lifestyle. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to learn more about the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Can get you back in the game of life, get you over any of your injuries without surgery. LindermanSportsMedicine.com. All right, let's hear it.
Hold up. What did you do last night? What did you do yesterday evening before you cast stones upon me?
I went to the movies with a woman last night. Tuesday is half off popcorn.
Mm, yep, that's true.
We went to go see The Black Phone, that scary movie.
Was it good?
I liked it.
Okay.
I had a girl ask me last night if I wanted to go see it with her.
Sure, man. You're like, sorry, babe, I can't. I'm doing quarterback list.
I swear to God, last night I asked girls if I want to go see.
Holy cow! I scheduled a date to a scary movie too. We're out here thriving, boys. Kind of.
The movie, if you guys have seen the previews, or the movie is about a kid getting a child abductor, right?
Yeah.
So in the movie, as a kid's getting abducted, that's when the Amber Alert first went off. Off. At the time, where a kid's getting abducted, you're like, oh my God, what is this? And you're like, oh.
This theater's really taking it to the next level.
Yeah, is this 4X? I didn't realize I was in the 4DX or anything.
Whoa, it was a blue alert.
Yeah. Well, I thought I got a blue alert and an Amber Alert.
I thought I got two blue alerts.
Yeah, I just maybe. Got two blues. By the way, we need to go hunt this guy.
No, they found him.
That's what they want us to do, but.
They found him.
I'm not doing
that. Yeah, that guy was armed.
I'm not getting taxpayer money to go hunt anybody, so.
Oh, yeah. I thought the first one was amber and the second one was blue, but yeah, they were both blue. I didn't know even what the hell a blue alert was.
I didn't either. Somebody had to explain it to me. I was confused.
Yeah, but that's what I did. Not to brag.
Nice.
If you'd asked me any other night, the answer probably been way sadder, but you
worked out.
you really got me back there.
You happened to ask on the wrong day for you, buddy.
I don't think that my afternoon was that sad.
It's giving us content. So let's go.
Okay, I went on a walk last night at 11.
Number 63, who do you got?
Number 63.
Yep.
Ken Seals.
Who is that?
Okay.
Ken Seals is Vanderbilt's quarterback. Okay. Yeah. Maybe, because it also could be Miles Wright.
I heard Zills.
I was going to guess Vanderbilt, but
the two of them both had the lowest QBR last year in all of Power 5, and it wasn't super close. The other two quarterbacks in that tier, 62-61, Riley Leonard and Hunter Deckers.
And who are these? What is the name of this tier?
This is the Nathan Peterman making his first NFL career start bad tier.
You know, okay.
When he threw seven picks.
He was very bad in that
start. And there were just three players in this one, just Hunter Deckers, Riley Leonard, and Ken Seals.
Okay. How do you want to do this, Cam? You just want to start at the top?
Well,
because I obviously don't want to hear
the
other.
Next tier is just really bad. That's 56.
Yeah, I think I want to go to the top.
To me, if you're really bad, then I don't need to hear about
Carson
you.
Thinks it's going to be Bryce Young at number one. I think it's going to be CJ.
CJ Stroud versus Bryce Young. Okay.
We'll see. It's at the top.
I think we should start at the top.
Start at the top?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is the number one quarterback in the country? Is it Bryce Young or
starting
is it
at
CJ
the top.
Stroud?
That tier is the all-decade talent tier.
Okay,
it's guys, we're gonna.
It's just this one singular person. I think this is one of the best
quarterbacks
college football has seen in years.
Guys that we're going to be thinking about
better than everyone else.
Guys we're going to be thinking about a decade from now that will live alongside the Tim Tebows and Cam Newtons of the world, the Vince Youngs of the world.
Because this guy's this guy's going to win a national championship. And a
Charlie's pretty niche. It's probably somebody we don't expect.
Do you consider Johnny Manziel a part of the All-Decade team of the 2010s?
For college-wise,
yeah, strictly college.
Yeah, I'd say yes. I'd probably put him on there.
I always went back and forth on whether or not how good I actually thought he was, or if it was just like, Mike Evans is
Mike
better
Evans
than everybody.
Because there were a lot of plays where it was just like, I'm going to throw it super high, and Mike Evans is just going to catch it.
Yeah.
But he did make some wild plays too. But he did get boosted by that.
Obviously,
sure.
I know he won a Heisman. I'm not saying he wasn't great, but like when I say all decade team, like for the 2000s, that would be like Cam Newton and Tim Tebow would be the earlier decade, and then like
I guess it depends on how many like you're putting on your list. Like
I'd like to be on the all decade team, Cam. You kind of
I'd put it between like 4 to 6 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was gonna say like your maximum would be one a year basically, and like maybe more so like one guy every 2 years would kind of feel like an all decade. So like Charlie said, 4 to 6.
Yeah.
So like for the 2010s, like maybe just make it mostly Heisman winners, but
Cam at 2010, I guess you count.
I count him in the 2000s. Because to me, there's no year zero, Cam.
Yeah.
So I know.
So
2011 on, I'd put like Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Like to me, both those guys are already kind of on there.
Yep.
I don't know who else would be on my list.
I think for the memories, you'd have to put Johnny on there just because he made such an impact that year as far as just like highlights.
Yeah, I mean that's. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just kind of asking.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Like I don't even think Trevor Lawrence would be on my all decade team.
I don't think he'd be on mine either. He didn't do anything but stood out.
A Heisman,
he
was excellent.
He was a good
quarterback,
but yeah.
Two natties.
It's fine. I mean, I'm not questioning his greatness, but
I think he deserves to be included on that team.
As far as talent,
he only didn't win Heismans because he just didn't play fourth quarters.
Maybe. And maybe he deserves to be on there. I don't know, but to me, the first two that jump out when I think of the 2010s would be Deshaun Watson and Lamar, both those guys. Jameis has to be on there.
Yeah.
Are they all damn ACC guys? Do we have any SEC? I guess Manziel.
No. What about
Would you put Mariota on there? Just because what he did as far as Heisman winning?
Would you put Tua? No.
Maybe.
Braxton Miller.
I know that not everyone makes the Hall of Fame on the first ballot or whatever, but when I give you those three guys, you're like, yes, without a doubt.
College Football Hall of Fame.
Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and who did I say? Jameis Winston. All three of those guys, you're like, yep, boom, on there. Because Jameis, you can, talk about the NFL career or whatever, but you look and you see that Florida State team might have been the most dominant team of the decade. When you actually look at their schedule that year.
Yeah.
They beat everybody by 40 points. They were on the 2001 Miami Hurricanes thing. And they got sort of kind of lucky against Auburn. We know they had to go on a last second drive to win or whatever.
At the same time, Auburn got lucky that Michael Dye didn't go down
Yeah, I mean Dyer, and that was against that was against Oregon though. That wasn't against them.
Oh my bad. Wait,
yeah. that was to beat Oregon.
That was to beat Oregon. Yeah, that I was with Cam up in my head. That was when Kelvin Benjamin caught that touchdown. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And like that was what Nick Marshall wasn't great or anything, but like
kind of crazy. Nick Marshall ended up in a national championship game.
It's really crazy.
Won.
It's really crazy. But when you look at their
CFL, hey, Saskatchewan Rough Rider, great Nick Marshall.
But when you look at Florida State's regular season that year, and I don't want to act like they were beating a murderer's row. They beat what four ranked teams that year.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't like beat like an SEC schedule or anything. But like their closest regular season game was 48-34. A 14-point game. That was their closest game all regular season. Like, and in like their ACC championship, they played Duke, so that kind of sucks. But they beat them 45-7.
Yeah, Duke got in there that year.
They beat them 45-7 though. Which again, it's Duke, but whatever. But yeah, I mean like 41-13, 62-7, 54-6.
Is that the same year that 63-0 lost in the Peach Bowl?
That'd have been the year they lost to Manziel, right? Yeah.
That was such a good game.
51-14, 49-17, 41-14 against the top 10 Miami team.
I went to that game, actually. It was a really fun
game. I literally was sitting at home that night, and I was just like, I'm not doing anything. I think I can get tickets to this cheap and win and watch Manziel play.
Back-to-back 59-3 wins against Wake and Syracuse. Which, again, Wake and Syracuse, but if you beat anybody 59-3, much less do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
80-14 against Idaho. I guess they did not take the foot off the gas against them. 37-7 against Florida, and then 45-7 against Duke, and then like they almost blew it in the championship against Auburn. But like to me, I put Winston on that list just because I think he was on maybe one of the teams of the decade as well. So, anyways, back to your list. You think these guys are all decades? So this is the guy you put on that level.
This is the only guy that I put on that level.
Okay.
He is in a tier of his own.
Okay.
Carson says Bryce Young.
He said Bryce Young. I said Shroud. I feel like you're going to go somewhere left field with this just because of who you are as a person.
I think he takes his list seriously, though.
I do take my list seriously. And it's none
now, sometimes when I saw his – what was that NBA thing you did?
Oh, I saw that, and I wanted to ask, but I just, like, I didn't even want
to
know
not
at that point.
Not derailing your stupid 1 through 63, but what was that – what was that
I was concerned when I read it.
NBA list you did.
Was that the draft one? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. I read that, and I was very concerned. Okay, your top prospects.
How you thought they should get drafted or just like...
No, those are just my top guys.
I was really concerned it was your mock draft, and I was like, oh, no. Charlie, what have you done?
If I were an NBA GM and I had a big board, that was my big board.
Okay, well, then, you know, that one's... To me, I think you can easily explain most of these then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was also like... I was a little drunk and like...
At 7:20, you get drunk and make lists? This list you posted was at 7:21 p.m.
The draft had already started. It was what threw me off.
Were you back in Nashville? Or you were on the beach, I guess?
I was at the beach.
Central time zone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it hadn't started yet where I was.
Well, if you're central time zone, the draft started at 7 o'clock central. It still starts at the same time.
I did this before the draft. I posted it
maybe I saw it when the draft was going on.
Were you in central time zone or eastern time zone?
I was in central time zone.
Well, it says the note was saved at 7:21 p.m., which would be 8:21 eastern. The draft started at 8 o'clock.
I tweeted it after the draft had started because I decided to tweet it, but I had made the list.
You had started working on the list.
Before the draft.
I mean, you're top 5 and top 6. I mean, Jay Navi being the best player in the draft, I mean, I think that's a very reasonable thought. Paolo, number 2. Mather at number 3. Like, both those guys could be... I mean, you could be right about that. Jaden Hardy and Johnny Davis, like, you're losing me a little bit on there, them being better than Jabari and Chet, but, like, you know, it's fun. Anyways.
You like that the Heat just happened to draft my number 11 player? Shout out to the Heat.
Oh. Who was that?
Nikola Jovic.
Yeah. Your number, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that mean that was like a partially drunk list for sure.
Anyway,
all right, who's your number one?
CJ Stroud.
Told you, Carson. I knew it.
So you think CJ Stroud is
the best player in college football, should win the Heisman, and should be the first pick in the NFL draft, and should be a good NFL quarterback?
I do think they're going to win the championship this year.
I do too. I think that him and Jackson Smith and Jigba should both be top 5. And probably will be. So that's my number one, tier of its own. My second tier, though, is elite. Also, just one quarterback in this tier.
Is that one Bryce?
That's Bryce Young. And honestly, I find Bryce Young to be very overrated. But as overrated as I think he is, I still have to respect him. So I will. My next tier, though, that's 3 through 7. And that tier is just really good.
Okay.
Any guesses on who you think falls into this
tier? I mean, would
tier?
Hooker fall in 3 to 7? Is he in the really good category?
He would.
I mean, like, I don't want to just, like, go down the mock draft boards or whatever, but I mean, I feel like KJ Jefferson's really good.
I had him just on the outside.
Okay.
Is the Miami guy on there?
Just on the outside.
I mean, I feel like yesterday you said you didn't really believe in Anthony Richardson, right? So he's not on there, right?
Yeah,
I
was going to say,
you
don't believe in him. Is Will Levis on there?
Will Levis is outside of it as well.
Should be. So Hendon's the only SEC guy, or not the only SEC guy, but the only name of the guys.
You have
Caleb Williams, Carson Guess, and Caleb Williams.
Two ACC, one SEC.
So the NC State
one
guy,
Big 12, and one Pac 12.
The NC State guy you guys have been talking about?
Not on there as well. Okay. It is number ACC. 3, Sam Hartman.
Oh,
from Wake Forest.
Guy. Is Caleb Williams on there?
He is not. Number 4 is Hendon Hooker.
So you don't think Caleb Williams is a top 7 quarterback this year?
I do not. I find him to be overrated.
Okay.
I go back to that game against Kansas where he needed to accidentally fumble just to beat Kansas.
That fourth down play they had was so cool, though. You remember that play? Like, they got stopped on fourth down, and then, like,
another guy came and accidentally fumbled. Like,
oh, that's is that it?
Yeah.
He fumbled? I thought the guy pulled him forward.
He started to fall, and then he, like, kind of lateraled, kind of fumbled, and another guy's arms got pulled forward. Was that not how it went?
Maybe there was a fumble. I just remember like a guy coming and like pulling his other guy forward to get a first down.
It was fortunate.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happened, it was fortunate.
For sure.
Number 5, I actually had the guy replacing Caleb Williams at number 5 as the 5th best quarterback in the country, Dylan
really?
Gabriel.
Okay.
I think Dylan Gabriel was excellent. Heisman sleeper there. At 6, I have Cam Ward from Washington State.
Okay.
And
you're losing me now. I don't. At seven, I
have Brennan Armstrong from Virginia.
Yeah.
So
really
that's the really good
guys.
Tier. No.
It's not college football season for me just yet.
Oh, it is for me now. The Nationals suck. It's college football season.
And like when you're telling me that, like, I'm gonna be honest right now, especially like, don't really care about the ACC and Pac-12 quarterbacks.
Well,
the SEC we could talk about. The SEC I'm focused on because I think Tennessee. You know, should be pretty good.
My tier of good quarterbacks is 8 through 17. And it has some SEC guys. I have KJ Jefferson right there at 8.
Okay.
I have Will Rogers at 10.
Okay. That's the Mississippi State quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
So you're just missing over just top 10 draft pick Will Levis.
Will Levis is in the slightly above average tier for me.
Yeah.
He's at 18. Those are the only two SEC guys, though, in the good tier. Also, Devin Leary, Caleb Williams, Talia Tagovailoa, Quinn Ewers, Cam Rising, Phil Jurkovec, and Aiden O'Connell.
Trusting Ewers over just high school tape?
Yep, I am. The slightly above average tiers, that's where you find a lot of the SEC guys.
Well, that's just how I feel about most of these college quarterbacks, to be honest. I feel like almost all... quarterbacks are just above slightly average, and you can catch them on the right or wrong day, they're surrounded in a good system with good players. Like that's how I feel like most of the college quarterbacks
fall
under.
When you look at my tiers, like slightly above average, average, and slightly below average, that includes everyone from 17 to 50.
Okay, so that checks out then. By the way, this is going to be a really weird question. You guys might not know, but when I'm thinking of quarterbacks, did that really fast – underclassman under KJ Jefferson transfer anywhere? They had a really like in the bowl game that guy was showing out and like looked to be like a rising monster, and I remember thinking like, huh.
I do not know off the top of my head.
Okay. Maybe he wasn't.
Seeing anything.
Okay. Who did they play in the bowl game again? Arkansas bowl game. I'll just look it up myself and get to the bottom of it. Go ahead and get back to your
Malik Hornsby?
Yeah, yeah. Did he transfer anywhere? Because I thought that guy was a monster.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, where'd he transfer to?
I don't know. I just saw the article that says Malik Hornsby left. Malik Hornsby transferred. Okay, he came back.
So now he's going to play some outside? I mean, play some wide receiver?
It looks like it.
I see a headline here, possible new role for Malik Hornsby.
All right. Anyways, side note, didn't mean to derail you.
Do you have any more quarterback talk? Because, again, I feel like most of it's just like, hey, most of these guys are pretty similar, and it's all about where they play at, who they play with, and, you know, like even those guys only show up sometimes.
I'll let you guys each pick a number past 17, and if you can get it right, you win a prize.
Give me 35 or 36. Give me 30.
You already forgot him, too.
Give me
you?
35. Give me 35.
Who's 35, John?
Let's see. It's Baylor's quarterback.
It's not.
Bo Bohannon. It's not him. Or Jerry Bohannon.
No.
Is he number 36?
Blake Shapen. Baylor's quarterback.
All right, give me 50. Give me 49. It was give me 49. Let's see. So this guy is probably going to be somewhere returning. That's probably had a transfer. if you're that low, you're probably coming off of an injury. So I'm going to guess it is someone that's had to leave like a Big Ten program. He went to Washington State, probably. Last name makes you think of a sexual organ.
You didn't even get the school right, John. Come on.
Oh, I was just Washington. That's right, not Washington State.
Washington State's quarterback is my number 4 quarterback in the country.
Sorry. Michael Penix
Jr. Number 5, pardon me.
Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
All right, so you owe me how much money now?
Well, you didn't get to pick the number. You already knew.
Carson wants to know where Stetson is.
Stetson is...
Number 1. Guy's unstoppable.
Apparently.
Charlie has him ranked way too low.
I have him at 19.
You're wrong, Charlie. He's better than that.
He should be a Heisman contender according to ESPN's quarterback tiers. Which, again, we'd like to note this is only Power 5. If it included Group of 5, this would look drastically different, as Jay Kaner would be included in the top 5.
I don't know, man. I liked the decade conversation better.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest. You lost me there. I feel like we stumbled into something that could have had a good conversation.
I just have a list in tears.
Yeah, I hear you.
You tell me what you want to make out of it.
Yeah, I thought we had something with the all-decade teams.
Bo Nix was 38th.
I'm just researching Malik Hornsby now.
For a second, I thought Bo Wallace. I was like, wait a second, he's still around? But then Bo Nix also seems really, really old. How the hell is he still around?
It's in Oregon, though.
Yeah.
I know, but what year is he? Is he a super senior?
Well, he was
at least
a freshman when he played first.
Well,
so
I know,
feel
but
like
he's a super senior at this point.
I don't
like,
think
a
so.
Guy?
I think he's normal think he's senior. Just,
like, a regular senior? So he could hypothetically play 2 more years in Oregon?
I feel like this guy's been around forever. But, yeah, he's just heading into his senior season.
He's got to go into Atlanta this year.
For $50 each.
Where'd you say Bo Nix was ranked?
38.
Okay.
What a loser. Was he a 5-star? Wasn't he supposed to be
one spot below DJ Uiagalelei and one spot above JT Daniels.
You know, it's kind of sad when we were talking about ACC's quarterbacks. Fitting. ACC's quarterbacks were all, you know, we were talking about how good they were, and then Clemson's rolling out Charlie's 38th ranked guy.
37th
ranked guy, either way.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Seems like it's kind of surprising me they didn't, like, fix that this offseason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they have a freshman, and they got Hunter Johnson to transfer back, so maybe they
doesn't feel like they fit
somebody.
So went after
out.
Malik Hornsby.
Doesn't feel like they fixed the situation. I don't know. Now that I know that Hornsby's going to play wide receiver,
I read an article.
I
read an article, and Pittman said you can come back, and we'll give you every opportunity to win the starting quarterback job. But I also need you to be open to the possibility of receiver if you don't win the job.
He's not going to win the job.
Yeah.
I mean, KJ Jefferson's pretty
exactly. So it sounds like he's going to be a backup quarterback / just get on the field.
I mean, Hornsby was a 4-star prospect. I mean, this guy's – again, when I saw him in that damn bowl game, he was running all around whoever they played. Was it Iowa? Was it Iowa? No, Iowa played Kentucky.
All right, Cam, $20 if you can name the Pac-12 quarterback ranked 34th.
The Pac-12 at 34th.
It was Penn State. That's what it was. But I guess he came in when KJ Jefferson got hurt, and I guess I didn't realize that he didn't really throw the ball.
He just ran the whole time.
KJ was just running down their throat too, so I guess I didn't realize he came in and like ran 4 times for 67 yards. But like he was running all over him when I was watching, because I thought KJ had gotten hurt. I had a big bet on Arkansas. I was like, I don't know what's happening here. But then they just
come on, 34th.
KJ had 20 carries for 110 yards. Yeah, they just ran down their
throat. Is that
Right above him at 33 is Tanner McKee, and right below him is Donovan Smith.
I almost said McKee.
This is so stupid. Pick something, Cam.
Is it Thompson Robinson?
It is!
Oh! We did it!
Hey, folks. Are you tired of long waits and outrageous prices when